Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Good to see you. So I figured what we'll try to do is finish the first parak. The four blot that we skipped, I didn't skip. I taught it on different days. That's Agadata. And after we finish the first parak, we'll have to negotiate where we go from there. Second parak, maybe Ketzem Uvarchem, which I never learned, which I'd love to learn. In any event, the challenge for today is sort of to get back into things, you know, so have to break in a little bit easy. So we're looking at the Gemara here on Daf Ches Amud Beis. And before we start, I just want to point out that there's a very interesting sugya on Daf Ches Amud Aleph at the very bottom, going on to Ches Amud Beis, which right now we're skipping, but if you'll push me on it, I would like to go back to that sugya. It's woven into the fabric of the Agadata, but it sticks out like a sore thumb. And that's the last line on Ches Amud Aleph. Liolam Yashlim Adam Parshiosov Imatzibur Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum. Very, very famous sugya. And I think it should be studied. Part of the reason I'm avoiding it is because what we call Mutav Shi Shogigin Value Mezidin. If you know what I'm hinting at. Alright, so we're going to look 11 lines up from the bottom of Ches Amud Beis. Okay then? And we're going to start with the Halacha. Om Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel Halacha Kiram Gamliel. And that itself is a sugya. We've discussed this in the past. And the question is whether or not a person should read Kriyat Shema before Chatzos, as the Chachamim insist, Kedei Lahachik Asadam in Avera. Rabbi Gamliel, does he accept that Harchaka? Does he not accept Harchaka? And how does the Rambam Paskin? You may recall that we discussed this, Bli Neder. If we have a chance, we'll come back to that. What I want to study with you today is a slightly different topic. Not when is the last time for Kriyat Shema Midrabbanan, meaning when the Rabbanan instituted a harchak of Ad Chatzos or they did not, but on a Doraisa level, when is the closing moment for Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis? The Torah says B'Shog B'cha. Let's operate with the following premise, which the Gemara is going to reject, that Laila and B'Shog B'cha are identical. And therefore, if we want to define when is the final moment for B'Shog B'cha, we really want to answer a more universal question, which is addressed in the Gemara Megillah and Daf Chaf, in the Mishnah and the Sugya there. When is Laila? And when does Laila end? And when does Yom begin? If B'Shog B'cha means up until the end of Laila, then when is Laila terminate? When is the last moment of Laila? And here we have two logical possibilities. What are those two logical possibilities? What would be the earlier time to end Laila? That's not a rhetorical question. I mean, no, to end Laila. Would be Alos HaShachar, correct. That would be the end of Laila. And what would be the later time to end Laila, if one extend Laila? Correct. HaNetzachah. Now, we can really reformulate that question in the flip side and pretty much come to the identical conclusion. When does Yom begin? When is the earliest time for Yom? And again, if Ubukumecha should be identified with Yom, which we'll see the Gemara is going to reject, but if we work with that premise, then Yom could begin either with Alos HaShachar, assuming that Laila terminates with Alos HaShachar, or if you extend Laila a little bit longer, past Alos HaShachar up until Hanetz, then Yom would begin with Hanetz, and that would be the earliest time to recite Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. And in the presentation that I've given you, I'm very much influenced by Tosfos. We'll see that the Rashba might have a different approach entirely. But the way Tosfos sees it, it's very what you call chad v'cholak. And it's really one or the other. You know, either you terminate Laila at Alos and then begin Yom, or you terminate Laila a little bit later with Hanetzach Chama and then you begin Yom. And basically, according to Tosus, you know, take your pick. You know, it's one or the other. You can't have the best of both worlds, and you have to decide ultimately what is your position on this question. When does Laila end, and when does Yom begin? The reason why the plot grows thicker, because we're going to see in the Gemara two different brises, but the plot grows thicker because what the Rashba introduces into the equation, and Tosus touches on it here at the end of Divrei Maskil Lo, is how do we compare our definitions of Sof Laila and Tchilas Yom in Kriyat Shema to our definitions of Sof Laila and Tchilas Yom in Kol Shaar Mitzvos HaTorah. And the question is whether or not Kriyat Shema beats to its own tune, so to speak, and it has its own rules and regulations, or shall we equate Kriyat Shema with Shaar Mitzvos HaTorah? And the reason for that ambiguity is not only built into this question, this issue about Kriyat Shema, but it's really built into our universal definitions of Laila and Yom regarding all Mitzvos HaTorah. Because the Mishnah itself in Megillah, as we'll soon see, uses a very ambiguous term. The formulation of the Mishnah is very confusing to us. When we want to ask the question, well, when is Yom? For example, the mitzvah of Milah, we'll take that example, or maybe Tefillin, many other mitzvahs. You know, when is the earliest time for the mitzvah Hayom? When does the Yom begin? Well, the Mishnah seems to say, Adon Etzach Chama. And yet then the Mishnah in the same breath says, but if he performed the mitzvah after Alos HaShachar, Yotza. Almost as if there's a lachatchila and a bidyeved, and that's what causes a tremendous amount of confusion. We seem, on the one hand, to be dealing with a very, as I said before, chad v'chola question. You know, take your stand on the issue. When does Laila end and when does Yom begin? And it's one way or the other, yet the Mishnah itself in Megillah is vacillating back and forth between a lechatchila and a bidyeved, and what is that all about? And we'll see that there's going to be a machlokas here between the Zayda and the Einikel. Rashi is going to take the approach that the whole difference here between lechatchila and bidyeved is all midrabanan. It's all a question of lahachikas adam in avera, or lahachikas adam mi ikiyum mitzvah in this case. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam is going to insist, and we won't see it here in this Tosafot, but in Yuma, that we're dealing with a doraisa halacha. And if we're dealing with a doraisa halacha, what does that mean, lechatchila and bidyeved? So let's just look at the two brises which are recorded here in the Gemara. Tanya, Rav Shimon bar Yochai Omer, Pa'amim, Sha'adam Kore Kriyat Shema Shtei Pa'amim, Belaila Achas, and here you have to emphasize, you have to underline these words, Belaila Achas. So whenever these two Kriyos are being read, they're both Belaila, that's what it says, that's a simple, straightforward reading of the brisa. And how could you have two kriyos fulfilling two different mitzvahs, one of Bishal Becha, Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, and one of Bekumecha, Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris, in one Laila? And the Gemara is going to point out the straight-on contradiction here in the Lashon HaBrayse. You can't tell me that you yotze Kriyat Shema Shel Shachar Malaila. I mean, that's an antinomy. That's a self-contradiction. So he goes like this. Kodem Shiyala Amud HaShachar. The first one, Achas, he read before Amud HaShachar. And he was Yotze then, which Kriyat Shema? Obviously, if it's before Amud HaShachar, it's got to be Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. V'Achas Li'achar Shol Amud HaShachar. And if it's another Kriyat Shema, that obviously by process of elimination can only be Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. V'Yotze Behen Yedei Chovaso. Achas shel yom, achas shel laila. And then here we want to underline the words achas shel yom, fulfilling the mitzvah of shachar, of kriyat shema shel shachar, and yet you just told me it's laila, hagufa kasha. This brisa is soser es atzma mi reisha l'seifa. Why? Amrit, you told me pa'amim adam kore kriyat shema shtei pa'amim balaila. Alma li achar shiyala murashacha lailu. Both kriyos were recited balaila. It means even the kriya post amurashacha was laila. V'hadar tani yotzim yichav asad shal yom achar shal laila achar shal yom, meaning that he was mekayim the mitzvah of kriyat shma shal yom. And again, the Gemara is assuming that your definition of ubikumecha of kriyat shma shal shachar is identical with yom, just as your definition of bishavacha kriyat shma shal arvis is identical with your definition of laila. So now you're telling me you read two kriyos for laila, and the second one is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of kriyat shma shal yom, right? That's how the Gemara defines it. Alma yamamahu, then it must be that the period of time between Amud HaShachar and Hanetzach Hama is Yom. So how can you tell me that both Kriyas were read at night? Now, Rabosai, before we read the Gemara's answer, and what I'm saying now is for my own benefit, because I find this sugya a little bit complicated. You know, after a while, you can get a little confused. So I always like to chaperein what I know before I get to what I don't know. So at this point, before the Gemara is going to confuse me with its answer, I just want to record what I do know. And what I do know here is that this brisa is going to be, from Tosis's perspective, a paradigm for a comparison between Kriyat Shema in terms of Shachar, in terms of Arvis and Shachris, and Shar Mitzvah HaTorah in terms of Laila and Yom. And let me explain what I mean. If you take a look at Tosis, Divra Maschil Lo, I want to focus your attention on one particular phrase or sentence in Tosfos. Again, we'll have to go through the whole Tosfos, but if you look down about 6-7 lines into Tosfos, after he says Hachi Kamar, do you see that? We olam lailahu, and here Tosfos adds a few very important words. Bishar mitzvos. So again, I would ask you to underline, well, for myself, it's I'm talking to myself here, to underline these two words, Bishar Mitzvos. And Tosis here is doing one of two things. And it's got to be one of two. It can't be both. You have two choices here. Either Tosis is equating Kriyat Shema with Shar Mitzvos, or he's presenting a contrast. The difference between Kriyat Shema and Shar Mitzvos. Okay, so now I want you to read that line with me and answer that question. Is there an analogy in Tosis, an equation, or on the contrary, Tosis is offering a contrast? Yeah, what do you say, Yud? It's a contrast. Why? Because what are we saying here is the time for Kriyat Shema. Let's talk about Kriyat Special Arvis. Again, we're going according to the first Bryce. We haven't yet touched on the second Bryce. So according to the first Bryce, the time for Kriyat Shema Shal Arvis terminates when? With Amud HaShachar, Los HaShachar, correct? So that means that Yom begins with Alos HaShachar. And Tosis says, Li'olam Lailahu Bishar Mitzvahs. Wait a minute, you just finished telling me, according to the first Brisa, that you could be Mekayim the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris after Alos HaShachar, meaning that segment of time between Alos HaShachar and Hanetzach Hama already kicks off Yom. And therefore it's the time that's appropriate for the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. Well, what would be the status of that time period if we slice that period of time as far as Shar Mitzvahs is concerned? Says Tosfos, it would still be what? It would still be Laila. So please make this, you know, this is really what we want to take note of. That as far as Kriyat Shema is concerned, with Alos HaShachar, we already entered into Yom. As far as Shar Mitzvahs are concerned, it still belongs to Laila. And this is what's going to incur the wrath of of the Rashba. The Rashba is not going to be able to tolerate this because he has a mission in Megillah that seems to assume, on the contrary, you could be Yotzei all Mitzvos Hayom after Amud HaShachar. But before we get to the Rashba, I have the Rashba with me here today. Let's just summarize the Shita of Tosis, and Tosis seems to embrace the Shita LaHalacha. Again, we'll see Rabbeinu Tam in Yuma has a different Shita, so it's a machlokas amongst the Baliyat Tosis. But right now, Tosis is waving the banner of what I call Brisa Roman numeral number 1. And according to that Brisa, the cutoff point for Laila, which means Kriyat Shema Shel Laila, is Alos HaShachar. And with Alos HaShachar, Yom emerges, and now's the time for Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. And Tosis sees in that halacha, a contrast between Kriyat Shema and Shaar Mitzvos HaTorah. In Shaar Mitzvos HaTorah, Yom doesn't emerge until after what? Hanetzach Hama. Okay, we'll soon see in a few minutes that the Rashba can't tolerate this.
How does Tosfos say it though?
How does Tosfos say it, or why does Tosfos say it?
That's what I mean. Why does Tosfos says that it's Yom Legabi Kriyashma because there's a myriad of people that get up at that time.
Yeah, wait, so one second, Alan, you're ahead of me. I as I told you, I gotta go slowly in this sugi. What I know, I know, what I don't know, I don't know. So let's just read one more line in the Gemara, Alan, and then you're on board. Okay, so what does the Gemara answer? So the Gemara says, just one second, where was my fingers on the place? Liolam, right? Lo liolam, lailahu. Because we're in the wide lines at the bottom of the page. So we have to understand that the Brisa is pretty outspoken, that we talk about Laila. So the period of time between Alos HaShachar and Hanetzach Hama is called Laila. And again, what would Tosis add here? What two words would Tosis add into the Gemara here? L'shar Mitzvahs, because L'shar Mitzvahs, Enochinami Tosis Shita is, again the Rashba is going to get upset about this, that up until Hanetzach Hama, it's still considered Laila. And you don't perform circumcision on a baby until after Hanetzach Hama. I v'hod kari le'yom. Now, how do we interpret those words? It's a little, again, the words have to be stretched a little bit. What do you mean, dekari le'yom? In other words, in Hilchas Kriyat Shema Yoyotze, Kriyat Shema Shel Yom, Shel Shachar. De'ika inshi de'kaimi b'ahi shaita. So the way Tosfos is going to learn it is like this. Even though from a universal perspective, we're still in Laila. And why is that? Because we need Hanetzach Hama in order to engender Yom. Up until Hanetzach Hama, it's Laila. That's our universal rule, according to Shitas HaTosfos. But nevertheless, Kriyat Shema is different because what is the pasuk saying? Kriyat Shema. It doesn't say Laila. It doesn't say Yom, and therefore we have to find a different standard for defining Shel Arvis v'Shel Shachris, and that standard is defined by when people get up and when people go to sleep. When do people get up in the morning? The early risers get up already at what? At Alos HaShachar. So therefore, since the early risers at Alos HaShachar, that already engenders the halacha of Ubiku Mecha, despite the fact that technically, from a universal standard of halacha, it still is what? Is Laila. And that's how I understand Tosis here. Again, let's go back to the Tosis. V'yeshlom d'hachi kamar. Li'olam lailahu. Yeah, what does that mean, li'olam lailahu? The Tosis plugs in two extra words here. Which on the one hand, Rabosai, conceptually, the two extra words of Tosis are very beneficial. You know, pedagogically, they help us really clarify the sugya. But halachically, we're getting into a real mess here by adding these two words. Because the Mishnah seems to say just the opposite. But at least for our clarity, it's very beneficial. He says, I'll prove to you that this slice of time before Hanetzach Hama is Laila, b'shar mitzvahs, because we need for tefillin, for milah, and for tzitzis, we need Yom. And when does Yom emerge? With Hanetzach Hama. Ah, you'll ask me about Kriyat Shema Shel Shachar. I can already perform and fulfill before Hanetzach Hama? That's what we call in Yiddish a bezunder adin. And what engenders that bezunder adin? Uvekumech. Okay.
I don't need the prices for that too, because the Gemara says that. But the thing is,
Alan, be very careful. The Rashba would deny that the Gemara says it. Okay.
Yeah, all right, but the point is, it sounds like Tosfos is saying is this is a lachatchila that we got in Kriyashma, that Shachar is, that Kriyashma of Shachar is, it's considered Yom.
So you have a problem with that?
I have a problem with that because
why is it fulfilled the criteria over Kumecha?
Yeah.
It's a miyut to people to get up. It's because of a miyut to people to get up that makes this a lahat fila and not a bidiyavit. You should be somewhere.
Well, no, I'll tell you where our paths part here. What I see here is that the Gemara is analyzing what is Bekumecha. Whatever conclusion we come to, and you can argue with me, should we base it on Rov B'nei Adam? Should we base it on Miut B'nei Adam? Is it already Bekumecha? Can we extend Bekumecha in a broader sense and try to expand Bekumecha? You know, that's an issue. But that has nothing to do with L'chatchila B'dievet. That's just a fundamental issue. How to define Uvekumecha. What is Bekumecha? Do I need this? Do I need that? We're not stretching the law, you know, in order to be,
define Uvekumecha that way. He himself can contradict himself in the last line. He doesn't agree that.
Okay, Yechiel, very good. You're already ahead of me in the last line of Tosfos. But as far as Alan's point is concerned, I think at this particular level, we have a certain clarity that I don't want to lose because I want to build a lot on this.
Right.
And that is that we're not dealing with L'chatchila B'dieved. We're not talking about what you should do, what you should not do. We're just simply trying to define the Torah's intention in Ubekumecha. And if there are people who get up at that time, that is considered Bekumecha, even L'chatchila. I mean, again, we're not interested in B'dievets here. We're interested in L'chatchila. There's no difference between L'chatchila and B'dievet.
It's not, Kriyashma is not
Torah, Yom. Right, and the question is, what constitutes Bekumecha? The Gemara says, Dika Inchi the Kaima Vahishaita. You could argue with the Gemara, and we'll soon see the second Brisa. But in the context of this Gemara, okay, Ika Inchi the Kaima Vahishaita, that constitutes Ubekumecha.
Yeah.
But again, I wouldn't want to use the terminology here of L'chatchila and B'dieff. Okay then?
Yeah.
Rabosai, can I have your permission again, only because this is not easy for me. You know, I'm trying to how much of this sugi I really, really understand, I'm not sure. You know, I'll try to do the best I can. Okay. Okay. Now, I'm not sure, Yechiel, what you're interested in. The last half of Tosfos has to do with the Sugivat Shiakir, though on Daf Testament base. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, two things about it.
Because Shiakir is a separate Sugya. In other words, Tosfos just wants to point out that even though you can put your finger on Bekumecha,
It's with
Netzachama, but nevertheless, we still need another period of time, which is called Achiyakir. That's a separate sugya. You want to take us down that road now?
I think
that would be premature.
Tosfos is defining that the Kriyashma can be said based on the concept of Kumecha,
yeah,
and it's defined by a certain point in time, which it says the Alot HaShachar, then that's it.
So why do we need Achiyakir?
You don't qualify it anymore.
Yeah, so again, so that's the sugya of Achiyakir, and we'll have to wait a little bit of time till we get to Daf Tes, which is not far. I mean, I hope by next week at this time we'll already be there. That's the sugya of Achiyakir. So Tosfos just wants to tell you up front that you shouldn't take the Gemara
literally,
right, and just end there with what you call Amud HaShachar. Again, we're in the first price, Amud HaShachar. You need Amud HaShachar plus to get to
Shachar. He's saying that people rise when it's mentioned.
I don't know.
Well, they rise before, but he's looking at
that I don't know. You know, for that, we have to analyze the Sugi Vachiyakir,
Mishiyakir. Just one last thing. Why does this have to make it mutually exclusive? That Zman Kima can't be Zman Shkiba. Why can't you have them both at the same time?
According to Tosus, it's either or. In other words, Tosus doesn't see any overlap here at a period of time that you can be Makai both mitzvahs. In fact, the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, and we discussed this on the first year that we started Brachas, but I don't remember, but I think we came to the conclusion, please check your notes if you have them, that the Rambam holds that there are two mitzvahs asay in Taryat, Kriyat Shema Shel Shachar and Kriyat Shema Shel Arvus. Am I right about that? Whereas in other mitzvahs, like for example, Talis, you know, with the Dalit Kanfis, he counts them as one mitzvah, but in Kriyat Shema he counts it as two. Remind me to double check that. I don't have the time right now, unless somebody wants to run and get a Sefer HaMitzvahs, but they're two different mitzvahs, no? If I'm not mistaken? Okay, I don't remember. All right. I'm sorry, I apologize that I didn't, I have to refresh my memory. We've been learning brachas for quite a while now. When did we start? That El time, no? Or Cheshvan time? Cheshvan time. So, you know, we need a Chazar already. Yeah. Okay. So now, I want to present to you the Kasha of the Rashba. Okay, I have a Rashba here, if I find it. Okay, here I found it. The Rashba says, I don't understand what's going on over here. Because the Gemara seems to be assuming, and that's the way Tosus understood it, that the period of time between Alos HaShachar and Anetz is Laila. Correct? And Laila. So he says, Tnan. We could start from the beginning of the Rashba. Again, there's a lot here in the Rashba. I'm just trying to always focus on what we need. Okay, so his first kasha is from a pasuk in Nehemiah. You remember maybe that Tosus at the very beginning of Masechta Brachos on the bottom quotes this pasuk in Nehemiah Perek Dalet. And there the pasuk indicates that the Mishmeres of Yom started with Alos HaShachar, which would mean that the pasuk identifies Alos HaShachar as the kickoff of Yom. Here we're assuming that up until Anetzacham it's Laila. And that's certainly Tosus Shita. The Ode, and the second kash is the one that I really want to call to your attention. This Nan b'Megillah, he refers to the Mishnah Megillah Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. Ein Tovlin, V'lo Mazin, V'lo Mo'alim, etc., etc. Ad Shetene Tzachama. Again, if he would have stopped here, everything would be fine. But the Mishnah goes on. V'chulon Sha'asu Misha'olu Amud, Mishal Amud HaShachar, Kosher. And here the Rashba adds three words. Alma, Yimamahu. From the fact that you could be Yotzei, the mitzvah of Mila, once the Shachar emerges, right, Amud HaShachar, that proves that Amud HaShachar establishes Yom. Here, in our sugya, we conclude, I mean, at least at this point in the sugya, we olam lailahu. And therefore the Rashba is going to reinterpret this whole brisa that assumes that that period of time is still laila. It cannot be considered laila because as far as Shar Mitzvahs is concerned, it's yom. And therefore, when the brisa and the first brisa kamaisa, as we call it, establishes that this period of time is laila, that's the exception to the rule, rather than the rule itself. You know, because of Bikumecha, it becomes laila. But really, it's yom. It really is yom. Tosus, on the other hand, let's go back to Tosus, and we'll send the ping pong ball back and forth in both courts. Tosus says, Li olam laila hu bishar mitzvahs. Meaning, whereas the Rashba proves, based on the Mishnah in Megillah, that your universal standard, namely Shar Mitzvahs of Yom, is Amud HaShachar, Tosus, on the other hand, insists that your universal definition of mitzvos, through mitzvos, is that period of time before Hanetzachama is still Laila. And that's why the Brisa is justified by calling this period of time Laila, to tell you that although in other mitzvahs it would be considered Laila, with regard to Kriyat Shema, because it says, it's considered Yom, and the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema Shel Laila terminates with Amud HaShachar. The mitzvah of Kriyat Shema Shel Shachar begins with Amud HaShachar, even though in Shar Mitzvahs it's called Laila. So let's just make a scorecard here. There's a great advantage to Tosfos, and there's a great advantage to the Rashba. The advantage to Tosfos, I believe, is reading this Brisa in a smooth sort of way. The Brisa is telling us that even though it's Laila, and you read Kriyat Shema, not only Laila Mamish, let's say before Amud HaShachar, that's clearly Laila, Kuliyamalopli, but even after Amud HaShachar, you read it still by Laila, okay? And Tosfos insists that that is really Laila. Nevertheless, there's a special halach, as we said before, that in Kriyat Shema, it's considered Yom for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema Shel Shachar Ubikumecha. So Laila here is a very important word here. The Bryce is telling us that Kriyat Shema is the exception to the rule. The Rashba, on the other hand, has a great advantage, because the Rashba is telling us that this period of time, from our perspective of Shar Mitzvahs, is considered Yom. And in fact, the Rashba proves it. Why is it considered Laila in this Brisa? That's because of the special halacha of Kriyat Shema. But as far as the definition inherent in this period of time, it is really considered Yom. Why is it considered Yom? Because the Mishnah says in Masechet Megillah, Kula min asan me'amud ha-shachar yotza. How can you be yotze the mitzvah of Mila, the mitzvah of Tzitzis, the mitzvah of Tefillin, Balayla? According to Tosfos, that this period of time is called what in Shar Mitzvahs? Laila. How can you be yotze? According to the Rashba, the answer is Vaistois. We have to derive the logical conclusion that this period of time is Yom. It's not Laila. Otherwise, it would be unthinkable that you could be yotze these mitzvahs during Laila. These mitzvahs are completely dependent on Yom. And that's exactly what it says in the Mishnah Megillah. It says, Kol Ayom, Kasha, Lamila, etc., etc. It means you need Yom. So you must assume, therefore, that Amud HaShachar kicks off Yom. If that be the case, then what the Bryce is trying to tell us is a different halacha. That even though it's already considered Yom, nevertheless, we consider it Laila in this particular halacha of Kriyat Shema. So Rabbi Bosai, although textually I'm inclined towards Tosfos, halachically I have a Mishnah which is an explicit contradiction to Tosfos. And we don't know what to do with Shitas HaTosfos and how to reconcile Tosfos with the Mishnah in Masechet Megillah. I want to point out that Rashi in Masechet Megillah, and we mentioned it earlier, but it's kedai to see it inside. Rashi says, in order to somehow reconcile the two parts of that Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, "Ad shetenei tzachama, but im osa me'amud ha-shachar kosher." Rashi says, "Lefisha ena kol b'kiyim bo." We're always worried about someone who is going to confuse Laila and Yom. Let's tell him, let's advocate that he do the mitzvah, perform it when it's definitely Yom. And he's not going to get into any problems of confusing Yom and Laila. Therefore, tzorech lahamtin adanei tzachama. So clearly, according to Rashi, the definition of Yom is Amud HaShachar. Why are we going to avoid fulfilling mitzvahs at that period of time? To get out of a suffix, to make sure that if he's not a bucky, he doesn't fall into a plunder here and end up fulfilling the mitzvah when it's really Laila. So to tell him, to convey the message, you know, that this mitzvah requires Yom, we're going to advocate that he wait until when? Till an Eitzachama. Rashi is clearly indicating that this stira, so to speak, between the Reish and the Sefer of the Mishnah is not a stira at all. On a Doraisa level, Yom begins with Amud HaShachar, and in that sense, the Rashba, is absolutely correct. However, Midrabanan, we're going to postpone the mitzvahs until it looks like Yom, till it's apparently Yom, namely, until after Correct. That's what I'm saying. That on a deraisal level, we don't distinguish between lechatchila and b'dieved. When the Mishnah says lechatchila, wait till after Netzach Chama, that's a drabbanan halacha. Did I say suffik? I didn't mean to say suffik.
Why is he watching? She has to be something glad. It's not something Lila being.
No, in his mind, maybe.
Is it? Subjectively, something.
Yeah, I don't know which Rashi did you? Oh, the previous Rashi. Right, that he should himself know that it's not Lila. Right.
Did we see in Nehemiah something about the time they worked on the wall?
Right. So Nehemiah clearly indicates that Amud HaShachar is the kickoff of Yom, which supports both Rashi and the Rashba. On a Drabbanan level, we're worried about a person who might confuse that period of time with Lila and then come to the conclusion that you can fulfill this mitzvah even before Amud HaShachar. Amud HaShachar is a very difficult, you know, situation to shots up, you know, to evaluate that's Amud HaShachar. We want to avoid that. So that's very good. The only thing, honestly, that I don't like about Rashi is if we could put ourselves for a moment into the shoes of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, you know, writing the Mishnah, it's a little bit odd because when you look at the Mishnah at the beginning of Brachos, the Mishnah tells you, first of all, when you could fulfill the mitzvah, and then it tells you to avoid that period of time, kidei laharchik es adam. If we apply that literary style, so to speak, to our Mishnah in Megillah, the Mishnah, according to Rashi, should have said the following. That you should be mekayim these mitzvahs with Amud HaShachar. Right? Mishol, Amud HaShachar is Malim and Tovlim and Mezim and Sofat Hazah. However, Lo Lechatchila or something, Yamtin Ad HaNetzach Chama. The fact that the Mishnah opens up with the words, Ein Koreinus HaMegillah, Ad SheTeinetzach Chama, that's a little bit difficult according to Rashi. That's not really true. Ain karnas of Megillah ad sheyal amud haShachar. But what? Kidei lahakik zavadom amru chachamim is yamtin ad haNetzach Chama. The Mishnah sounds a little bit more like there's a doraisa halacha here. That on a doraisa level, the time for this mitzvah and all these mitzvahs is from haNetzach Chama. Correct? But what are you going to do with a kulim shasim aluna shachar? That's going to be the problem that I have in Rabbeinu Tam. So where is this Rabbeinu Tam, first of all? This Rabbeinu Tam, if you look for a needle in a haystack, you might find it. It's in one of the largest, longest tosfos in Shas, in Yuma, on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. And if we had a long time, we would go through the entire tosfos. There's the Rian Tosfos, there's Rabbeinu Tam, there's a lot of Kodshim here in this Tosfos. But we're going to just focus on that which is relevant to our sugya. And Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, it's about five lines up from the bottom of this Tosfos. And he says that the halacha of Kriyat Shema is depending upon HaNetzach Chama. Meaning, Rabbeinu Tam reflects the second brisa that we haven't read inside officially yet, and that is that you could be Korei Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis up until HaNetzach Chama, and then from HaNetzach Chama and on, you recite Kriyat Shema Shel Shachar. The Hevi Raya, and what proof does Rabbeinu Tam have? Mi Perek Sheni de Megillah. It means that when does Yom emerge, as far as mitzvahs are concerned? Again, let's go over this one more time because I see the silence in the audience here and I don't know what that means. I can give many different explanations for that. And not all of them are my fault. Okay, some of them might be. What I mean to say is the following. Rabbeinu Tam holds that the transition, the moment of transition between Lila for Kriyat Shema and Yom is HaNetzach Chama. Correct? Not like the first Brisa and our Tosfos in Masechet Brachos. According to Rabbeinu Tam, says Rabbeinu Tam, I have a proof. My proof that the transition between Lila and Yom is HaNetzach Chama is the Mishnah Megillah. Because the Mishnah Megillah says that when do we fulfill these mitzvahs, Mila, etc., with HaNetzach Chama? Now, both sides, what question should we raise here against Rabbeinu Tam? That was only a gzeirat derabbanan. Lo mi boy according to Rashi, but even according to the Rashba. In other words, Rabbeinu Tam, I think, again, this is all speculative on my part, refused to read the Mishnah the way Rashi read the Mishnah. Because the way Rashi read the Mishnah should have first told me that you could already fulfill these mitzvahs with Amud HaShachar, says Rabbeinu Tam. Name. The real definition of Yom is Hanetzachama. And Lila continues all the way past Amud HaShachar up to Hanetzachama. And therefore the Mishnah reads smoothly. But the problem is, Rabbosai, even if Rabbeinu Tam has one up in here on the textual analysis of this Mishnah, but nevertheless, we don't know how to put this all together. Because the Mishnah itself establishes that you could be Yotzei these mitzvahs with Amud HaShachar. Rashi says because that's already Yom. Narvas, the Chachamim made a gzeira, and they told you don't rely on your ability to evaluate that it's already past Amud HaShachar. You're going to get all confused. You're not a bucky. Wait till a time period which is clearly, undeniably at Yom, and that is Hanetzachama. How does Rabbeinu Tam quote the Mishnah in Masechta Megillah as a proof for a din d'oraisa? Rabbeinu Tam wants to establish, based on the Mishnah in Megillah, that Kriya Shema Shel Arvis continues up until Hanetzachama. Kriya Shema Shel Shachris begins with Hanetzachama from Shar Mitzvos. Meaning, let me just summarize. Whereas up until, there are two periods of history here. There's pre-Rabbeinu Tam and post-Rabbeinu Tam. In Jewish history, in pre-Rabbeinu Tam, we understand that Shar Mitzvos and Kriya Shema are different. Shar mitzvahs depend upon Yom and Laila. Kriyat Shema depends on Mishach Barov Kumecha. And we were very comfortable with that. The Torah deliberately avoids using the terminology of Yom V'Laila with regard to Kriyat Shema. It's a different standard and a different definition. Rabbeinu Tam breaks down all those walls. Rabbeinu Tam insists that if I want to prove to you that Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis continues all the way to Anetz, and Kriya Shema Shel Shachris begins with Hanetz, which is in fact the way Rabbeinu Tam understood the second Braisa and accepted the second Braisa, then I'll prove it to you from Shar Mitzvahs. Just like in Shar Mitzvahs, there's a halacha that Mitzvahs Hayom depend upon Hanetz, because Yom doesn't begin, it doesn't emerge until Hanetz. And during the period of time of Alos HaShachar up until Nates, we're in Laila, and that's not appropriate for Shar Mitzvahs. Is Mimela as the spin-off, I just simply apply those same standards to Kriyat Shema. And Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis will continue past Amud HaShachar up until Anetz, and Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris will emerge with Anetz. The only problem is, the Mishnah itself says that you could be Yotzei these mitzvahs with Amud HaShachar, even though they depend upon Yom. And Rashi interprets it very well, at least on a conceptual level, as telling us that the whole deal with Hanetzachama was only a push-off. It was only a gzeirat derabbanan, because derabbanan with choshesh that maybe you might make a mistake. But Rabbeinu Tam is dealing with the din d'oraisa. He wants to establish when is man kriyat shema. When can you fulfill the Zman Kriyat Shema? When can you not fulfill the Zman Kriyat Shema? And the moment of transition, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is Hanetzachama. So that if you read Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis after Hanetz, you're not Yotze. If you read Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris before Hanetz, you're not Yotze. Because you cannot confuse Yom and Laila. And to prove it, he quotes the Mishnah in Megillah, which deals not with Kriyat Shema, but with Shar Mitzvahs. And Shar Mitzvahs is going to determine, says Rabbeinu Tam, your universal standard of Yom V'Laila. Bishleima, Rabbeinu Tam, makes sense in the Reish of the Mishnah in Megillah. Because the Reish of the Megillah tells us that you should not even dream of performing Milah until after Hanetzachama. That's wonderful, according to Rabbeinu Tam. But what is he doing with the last line in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says, V'kula min asa mi shosh amud HaShachar yata? which all the Rishonim, with the exception of Rabbeinu Tam, understand, to teach us, to establish that Lila continues, terminates, let's say, with Amud HaShachar, continues up to Amud HaShachar, and Yom begins with Amud HaShachar. Rabbeinu Tam is saying, no, the period of time up to Amud HaShachar is Lila, and that's why you're not Yotzi, the mitzvah of Kriya.
Is there any significance of the Mishnah, but it doesn't mention Kriya?
According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's a Pella. Because Rabbeinu Tam would actually insist that the Mishnah is establishing my universal standard of Yom V'Layla that applies even to Kriyat Shema.
Yeah, but that must be something that doesn't make sense.
I don't know if you have an answer. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's very much a Pella. According to all the Rishonim, it's beautiful. The Mishnah deliberately omitted Kriyat Shema because Kriyat Shema has its own standard.
But for Rabbeinu Tam to equate Kriyat Shema with Shema Mitzvahs to Bar Yom, you would have to have the word Yom appear in the Mitzvah of Kriyashma somewhere.
Where does it appear?
It doesn't appear.
So I don't know.
On what basis is he equated with something?
I don't know. It's a Pella. Again, as we said at the outset, the Gemara's premise that B'Shabbukal Kumecha depends upon Yom V'Layla is definitely inherent in the Gemara. I wouldn't blame Rabbeinu Tam for that. But the Gemara's answer and his conclusion is to reject that equation. Rabbeinu Tam is still maintaining, he's holding on to that equation. Again, he can only do so l'shitaso based on the second brisa, because as we said before, the second brisa establishes the transition point as Hanetzachama, and Rabbeinu Tam believes that that identifies Kriyat Shema with Shar Mitzvahs, because he believes that the transition between Laila and Yom in all mitzvahs universally is Hanetzachama. But how do you deal with the Mishnah that says that you can fulfill all these mitzvahs after Amud HaShachar before Hanetzachama? So Rabosai, what I want to share with you here is something that we've mentioned in the past. Every time I look at this, I don't know, it just boggles my mind. This is a sefer that I've often quoted in Shia called Shiurim L'Zecha B'Mori, and these are the Rav's Yartzeit Shiurim on Gimel Shvat, the Yartzeit of his father. And he has a piece here. He doesn't talk about Kriyat Shema, but I think it definitely should apply to Kriyat Shema. It's called Yom V'Layla. Okay. And he says the following. Again, I'm going to summarize a couple of pages here. And anyone who has the time to go through this is definitely invited to do so. And you can borrow my copy if you don't have a copy. And certainly you can photocopy it. He says the following. And I want to see if we could somehow plug this into Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, instead of reading it from the original, I'm going to read my summary, because I think that's a little bit easier for me. In defining Yom and Laila, we find in the Torah two different definitions. Do you remember we discussed this?
Yeah.
Does it ring any bell? Okay, hopefully it'll ring a bell. The first 3 days of creation, which come before the creation of the Ma'oros, it says, Vayi Erev, Vayi Voker, Yom Echad, etc., etc. And the Torah says, La'or Kara Yom, La'choshech Kara Laila. We have no Ma'oros, and yet the Torah explicitly relates to Yom and Laila, to Or and Choshech. And the Torah identifies that Or is Yom and Choshech is Laila. That's undeniable. Nobody can change that reality. We're in a world before there are Ma'oros, and yet there's Yom, which is identified by the Torah with Or, there's Laila identified with Choshech. However, fast forward to the creation of the Ma'oros, and all of a sudden the Torah says that Vayhi Ma'oros Berki Hashamayim, and the Torah says L'Ma'adim, that Zmanim depend upon the Ma'oros. Now the Nafkamina is going to be a twofold Nafkamina, two different slices in time. Let's explain. There's a period of time from Shkiyas HaChama until Tzeis HaKochavim, going into night. And then there's a period of time between Amud HaShachar and Zrichas HaChamo, HaNeitzach HaChamo, going into day. Both of these two periods of time are confusing to us. Not only confusing, they're almost contradictory. When we isolate those periods of time, each one individually, respectively, they're beset with an inherent contradiction. Why? Let's start with Shkiyas HaChama, and then we'll go to Hanetzach HaChama, and they parallel each other. If my definition of Zmanim depends upon the third day of creation, the Ma'oros Berkiya Shamayim, then once the sun sets, the previous day has terminated and the new day has emerged. Even though I still see what? Light, exactly. Let's fast forward to the period of time between Alos HaShachar and Anetz HaChama. If we need the Ma'oros, if we need the Ma'or HaGadol and Memshelas HaYom, then that period of time is still considered what? Laila. Even though it has what?
Light.
There's light on the horizon. The sun hasn't risen yet, but there's light on the horizon. But if I go back to the beginning of creation, V'lachoshev kara laila, then I come to the exact opposite conclusion. That even though the sun has set going into the night, but it's still are. There's still reflected light on the horizon, and therefore, if my definition of laila is choshech, then I have to consider that this period of time is still yom. V'lachoshech kara laila. If we take, for example, the pasuk in Nehemiah that you mentioned before, that establishes that from Alos HaShachar until Tzeis HaKochavim, it's considered yom, what we have is the following. The definition of yom and laila depends upon or and choshech. From the moment of Alos HaShachar, we have or, and therefore the yom has emerged, up until Tzeis HaKochavim, way beyond Shkiyas HaChama, we still have light and therefore it's still day. And we define our transition point between Laila and Yom as Or and Choshech. Whereas, again, just to repeat, to reiterate, if our definition of Yom V'Laila depends upon the Ma'or HaGadol, then although we've already passed the period of time of Amud HaShachar, we haven't yet come to Anetz HaChama, the Ma'or HaGadol does not appear on the visible on the horizon, and from the same token, if we switch it around going into the night, once there's Shkiyas HaChama, we already terminated the previous day. So the Rav Zichron Livracha had an unbelievable approach to this, again very unique, in which he said the following. That there are two different definitions of day and night, and they both coexist. They both are accepted by the halacha simultaneously. When the Gemara, for example, in Masechta Shabbos, talks about Bein HaShmashos, and it uses the term of Bein HaShmashos as Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila, Rav Soloveitchik insisted that that's not the classical Suffolk the way we intuit it. But rather, that suffix is built on the fact that there are two definitions of Yom and Laila. That means, with Shkiyas HaChama on the one hand, we've entered into the new day, because the old day has terminated, there's no longer a Chama visible on the horizon. On the other hand, since there still are, we really are still, we haven't entered into the new day yet, we're still in the old day. And that's what engenders suffix. It's the suffix not of idea, of the lack of knowledge, which is your classic suffix. It's a suffix of what we call a tarti desasri, two mutually exclusive elements that exist simultaneously. It's A and not A. Which is your definition? Does this period of time belong to the previous day, and that's because it's still light out? Or does it belong to the new day because of Shkiyas HaChama? Now here, when the Rav formulates this, he uses a language, and again, I wish he were alive that I could ask him if he would do me a favor and clarify a little bit more for us guys what he means. But let me read to you his language. He writes the following. Li'achar sheshoka hachama, kodem sheyotza hakochavim, shtei chalosim menugadim tofsim. Okay, so far so good. There are two variant definitions that apply simultaneously. He says the following. Binogea l'seder hazmanim. Okay, now let's understand that phrase, seder hazman, right? We want to know when yesterday terminated and the new day emerged. So the pasuk says, vayerev vayivoker, Yom Echad, meaning whatever that definition of Erev is on the first day of creation, that is Yom Echad. That's your new day. Vayerev Vayivoker Yom Sheni, that's going to be your second day. So your transition between yesterday and today, which he calls Seder Hazman, if somebody can write that down, Seder Hazman, that seems to be a very important phrase from the Rav's perspective, that depends on Choshech and Or. Why? Because what does Vayerev mean? The pasuk itself says, Vayikra Elokim LaChoshech Laila. So we haven't yet gotten to the creation of the Ma'oros, and yet we already have a transition between the first day and the second day, the second day and the third day. When does the first day begin? With Laila. When does the second day begin? With Laila. So Laila means the termination of the previous day and the beginning of the new day. And that transition depends upon Laila. So forget about Shkiyas HaChama. That's irrelevant. There is no Chama in the earth. It hasn't been created yet. What you have is R. Until you've said goodbye to the last vestige of R, the previous day still exists. So in Seder Azmanim, the definition of Laila is Tseisa Kochavim is Choshech. And if that be the case, with Tseisa Kochavim, we begin the new day. And when does Laila end? When does Shachar begin? Well, Shachar is going to begin at an early period of time, when there's light on the horizon, namely with what? Hamud HaShachar. Then he says, but there's a second definition of time that depends upon the Ma'oros. And he says the following. He says that he called, wait, where is it? Just 1 second. Li'achar sheshoka chama, he says, le'inyan hechsher upsul, Havi Laila, Kfar Hiskila Laila. Again, if you're asking whether the previous day ended or not, your answer is no. The previous day did not end. It continues as long as there's light on the horizon. But if you're asking when is there a Heksha Laila, okay, as opposed to Seder, but Heksha Laila, he says that depends upon Shkia Sachama. In other words, even though it's not dark out, with Shkia, the Torah has already set up a new day, and or to be more precise, Laila. Let me take a pause for a moment and ask a question. I'm afraid that you'll give me a different answer than the one I really want, but I'll try it anyway. This is a real sakana for me. But I want to say the following. If I were to ask you, when is Laila on an intuitive basis, just intuitively? In other words, if you didn't know halacha, you didn't know the Torah law, you didn't know the psukim, just in terms of, what would you identify as Laila?
Choshech.
Okay, I'm not even going to ask anyone else. David gave me the answer I was looking for. If we go fight, I'm in deep trouble. You know what I'm saying? Because you get two Jews together, you get three opinions. But it's only us guys right now, and I'm with David on this. I think that before you get to this pasuk, Hamo'orak Adolam Emshel Sayom, you would attribute Yom and Laila to light and darkness. You know, it's still light out. Again, you could always talk to me about that gradual, you know, phasing out of light, you know, until we get to Tzeisa Kochavim. But if we talk about the moment of Shkia, which technically means that the top of the sun dips below the horizon, but there's plenty of light out there, you know, and I'm running to Dav Mincha, you know, if I'm a Chassin Shiyid, I'm going to Dav Mincha at that time. So intuitively, I would say it's still Yom. Correct? It's still Yom. So therefore, what I'm going to try to do here is, just again, and if you fault me for this, you'd probably be right. But just for my own sanity, I'm going to change a little bit the language of Rav Soloveitchik as it appears here in this text, and I'm going to say the following: that Or and Choshech define Heftza Shalila and Heftza Shalyom. Let me explain what I mean by Heftza. Heftza means what I believe is really Lila, intuitively. It's dark outside, there's no light, that's Lila. That's the reality, that's the Mitzias of Lila. I call it the Heftza Shalila. And then there's some sort of what I call Halushem Yom in Lila, where the Torah says that as far as, and here we'll use the Rav's language, Hechsher and Psul, we can still play with the Ma'oros HaGadolim, you know, and introduce Shkia, and introduce Hanetzachama, and so forth and so on. Okay. Let's see, again, everything has been very, very abstract. I want to see if we can somehow give this teeth in our sugya. Okay, so bear with me for a minute. It's going to take me a minute or two to get this out of my mouth. But I want to suggest the following. Rabbeinu Tam, just one second. Says that he has a right from that Mishnah, because that's really young. Rabbeinu Tam believes, again, bear with me and see if this makes any sense, that Kriyat Shema depends upon Heftza Shalyon, Heftza Shalai. What I mean is that, again, and I'm not interested in doing a psychological study here on when people wake up in the morning, when they go to sleep at night. But what I mean to say is that the fact that there's light on the horizon with Amud HaShachar, from Rabbeinu Tam's perspective, is not going to engender what I call Bikumecha. That Rabbeinu Tam identifies Bishobachov Kumecha with Yom V'Laila of an intuitive sense. That's when do we sense that the Lila has ended and the Yom has begun? And if intuitively, as we call it, the Heftza Shel Lila, the Heftza Shel Yom, depends upon... Just one second. I think I messed up. Let me see if this works out. No, just one second. Yeah, when Rabbeinu Tam holds the transition between Lila and Yom is when? Yeah. Is Anetz. And what is Tosus' opinion here in Brachos? The transition point, according to the first price, which he accepts is when? Is Amud HaShachar. Okay, so just one second. Oh, so forget. Let me start again. I'm sorry. Let's start with Shitas HaTosus, and then we'll move on to Rabbeinu Tam. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Shitas HaTosus is that Yom V'Laila in Kriyat Shema should depend upon what I call the Heftza Shel Yom and the Heftza Shel Laila. Okay? And therefore, Tosus thinks that the transition between Laila and Yom is what point? Is Amud HaShachar. Amud HaShachar means that people have woken up. Why are people woken up? Again, I'm not asking on a psychological level, but that's all written. There's light on the horizon. Time to get up. The day has begun. If you want to add something psychological, you would say that back in the day they didn't have electricity, whatever it is. I'm not going that route. You know, that's antithetical to my Derech HaLivud. But when I, just L'Sabra Sa'ozen, that's what I would say. Oh. Now we have the Kasha the Rashba. The Rashba says, wait a minute. Tosus says that as far as Shara mitzvahs are concerned, what's the definition of Yom? Hanetz, right? So you know what? Rabbeinu Tam is going to say that the definition of Yom, as far as mitzvahs are concerned, is what we call not the Hefta Shel Yom, but Hechsher Psul. The Torah was Machshir, a mitzvah Hayom, with Hama'ar Hagadol, with Hanetz Hacham. So far, so good. Comes along the Rashba and asks the obvious kasha. Nu, why does the Mishnah say in Masechta Megillah, the kulam shemasam yalud shachar yotza? The answer is that the Torah recognizes that definition of Yom as well. Meaning that already with light on the horizon, as far as Zmanim are concerned, meaning if you're talking about the transition between one period of time and the other, then Vayerev Vayivoker kicks in. What was Vayerev Vayivoker? There were no Ma'oros. So you're telling me, wait a minute. Okay, Amura Shachar, but where's the sun? You're before Hanetzachama. Right? The answer is that the Torah recognizes that if you want to make a transition and say that one period of time, one Zman in Hilchus Zmanim is terminated and a new Zman has emerged, it's true that the new Zman has emerged with what? With Alos HaShachar. And why is that? Because there's already R. R itself is enough to engender that transition. Why? Because, as we said before, the first 3 days of creation, there were no Ma'oros, and yet there was a transition between yesterday and today, meaning the Zmanim make that transition even before the Ma'or emerges, because there are no Ma'oros, Vayer Vayivoker, with Choshech and R. And in that case, we begin to appreciate the Pasuk in Nehemiah. Because the Pasuk in Nehemiah is talking about what we call intuitive Yom and intuitive Laila, what we call the Heftah Shel Yom and the Heftah Shel Laila. The Heftah Shel Yom and the Heftah Shel Laila depends upon Or and Choshech. And therefore the Pasuk in Nehemiah says that the Mishmer and the Mishmeres HaYom begins with Amud HaShachar and ends with Tzeis HaKochavim. With Amud HaShachar we have light, and even after Shkiyah Sacham we still have light up until, when does the light terminate? With Tzeis HaKochavim. In other words, Rabosai, what it comes out is the following. That Rabbeinu Tam is not dealing with, Tosus is not dealing with L'chatchila and B'dieved the way Rashi deals with it. When Tosus reads the Mishnah in Megillah, he doesn't read it, well, we have to be Marchik Esodim, he's not a Baki, he'll get confused. No, none of that. What we're dealing with is two definitions of Yom V'Laila, and both are correct simultaneously. The Mishnah says the following, that if you want to talk about Hechsher Yom depends upon the Ma'ar HaGadol. And therefore, these mitzvahs should be implemented with Hanetz HaChama. And that's the Mishnah. Aye, Rabbeinu Tam says it's considered Laila. Yeah, it's considered Laila. As far as the Heft of that period of time, it's definitely Laila. Up until Hanetz HaChama, it's a hefta, up until Amud HaShachar, excuse me, it's a hefta of Laila. As far as Yom is concerned, there's a hefta shel Yom that emerges with Amud HaShachar. So why does the Mishnah tell you that you should postpone these mitzvahs until Hanetz HaChama? Rashi gave his answer, Tosus gives his answer. Because as far as Hechshim Psul is concerned, the Ma'ar HaGadol, namely Hanetz HaChama, is going to engender Yom. Aye, the Mishnah says that B'dieved, Kulam in Hassan, after what? After Amud HaShachar Yotza, because since there's already R, that's enough to create a Heftah Shel Yom, and therefore you could be Yotza in the mitzvah based on that definition of Yom. Of course, If you ask me what lechatchila should be my definition of yom, it should be the yom of hechsher and psul, and if I have to wait until what?
Next.
Until anetz. But b'di'eved, you can always rely on a different definition of yom and laila, namely the one that predates the existence of the ma'ar, the transition between yom and laila, which we call the cheftza shel yom. The cheftza shel yom emerges with amud hashachar, and therefore kulam ma'asan is yotza. In Kriyat Shema, Tosis maintains that the definition of Zmanim for Kriyat Shema depends not upon the Ma'or HaGadol, but on the Cheftza Shel Yom and the Cheftza Shel Laila. Okay, what time is it? I think I really went a little over time. I apologize for that. I got very, very involved. What we're left with now is to fit the piece of the puzzle in Rabbeinu Tam. So anybody who wants to stick around, we're going to try to work that out, but we'll stop here.
Shteit ta'amim ba'layla refers to two different definitions.
Let's read it inside and see if we can. Right. So Tosis says that as far as the universal definition is concerned, it's Laila. And why is it Laila? Because Hechsher mitzvahs depend upon the Ma'ar HaGadol, and that doesn't emerge until after Anetz HaChama. I, the Rishonim, ask for Kula B'Masan Misha Shavud Alasha Yotza. The answer is that now we kick in a different definition of Yom V'Layla, the definition of Yom V'Layla that operates in Kriyat Shema, namely the Cheftza Shel Yom and the Cheftza Shel Laila that predates the creation of the Ma'aros. Well, now we got to see if we can, we got to now change something in Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that what? Let's go over this again. That the transition is Hanetz HaChama. And he proves it from the fact that the Mishnah says Hanetz HaChama, meaning, oh, now I have it. That Rabbeinu Tam holds that Kriyat Shema doesn't depend upon Cheftza Shel Yom, Cheftza Shel Laila, it depends on Hechsher Zmanim. And the Torah established on the third day of creation that Hechsher Zmanim is the Ma'ar HaGadol. So Ma'ar HaGadol means we have to postpone, even though there's still light on the horizon, it's not. It's still Laila. When does Yom emerge? With Ma'ar HaGadol, that's with Hanetz HaChama. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam proves it from the fact that all the mitzvahs of the Torah require Hanetz HaChama. Aye, the obvious question, the Mishnah says that Yotze B'dievet, and the answer is because we have another definition of Yom V'Laila, and that depends upon Aron Choshech, and since during this period of time there's still Ar, we can consider it Ar as far as Boker is concerned, Yom, the Yom is emerging, it can be Yotze B'dievet.
How different is that, what the Rav said, from what Rashi says?
Totally different. Rashi is learning that nothing happens between Amud HaShachar and Hanetz HaChama. Nothing. The only thing that happens is the way you and I perceive it. That's not a halachic consideration. I mean, it's only halachic in the sense the Chachamim are worried about confusion. But in terms of your definitions of Yom and Laila, Rashi operates with one definition of Yom V'Laila. And his definition of Yom V'Laila depends upon Aron Choshech, correct?
Right, so what I'm saying is, but that's what the Rav is saying too.
But on a Doraisa level,
yeah, right.
Fundamental difference. As Rashi is saying that this kind of halach of wait till Hanetz HaChama is a rabbinic harchaka, with all due respect, but it's only harchaka. You can't determine in your mind that it's for sure Amud HaShachar. That's Rashi. No, says Tosfos, whether it's our Tosfos, whether Rabbeinu Tam and Yuma. No, I know exactly when it's Amud HaShachar. There's no confusion about that. But the Torah wants you to wait to the Ma'ar HaGadol. When is the Ma'ar HaGadol? That's Hanetz HaChama. And why? Because in Dinei Hechsher Psul, Yom V'Laila, that transition depends upon the Ma'ar HaGadol. What I'd love to analyze now, but I don't know if we can do this, is when is the earliest time for Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis? At night. Because our Shia today, what we've been focused on is when is the latest time for Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. Let's flip back to the first Tosis. Correct, Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim. And Rabbeinu Tam is going to introduce, I think, a third definition of Yom V'Laila, based on Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that from Plag HaMincha, the Beis HaMikdash is already closed for business. right? You don't have to wait till Shkia. And he, Rabbeinu Tam, is going to rely on Rabbi Yehuda to allow you to be Yotzei. Ah, so he's not talking about Kriya Shema, he's talking about Arvis. Wait, one second, I jumped the gun a little bit. But let's talk about Arvis for a minute. Let's talk about Tfilas Arvis. According to Rabbi Yehuda... Oh, he does? Oh, Rabbeinu Tam. That's the second sheet in Tosis, right? The first sheet in Tosis says that Arvis and Kriya Shema have two different dinim, and you might be able to be Yotzei the Kriya Shema shall Arvis. Excuse me, Tfilah shall Arvis with what? With Plaga Mincha, because going to Rabbi Yehuda, Market Islay, right, we can, Plaga Mincha terminates Mincha, and the Mela Arvis begins. But for Kriya Shema, we have to wait till Tzeisa Kokov. That's the first day in Tosa. Then we have Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that even Kriya Shema, you can be Yotze with what? With Plaga Mincha. So that means that since in Beis HaMikdash, see, Rabbeinu Tam is stretching his arm out to the Beis HaMikdash to find a new definition of Yom V'Laila. The transition from Yom and Laila is that which is set in stone by Beis HaMikdash. And if in Beis HaMikdash, the day ends with Plag HaMincha, according to Yehuda, that's when the new day emerges.
In
Heksha, it's hard to call it a Heksha Shal Laila. Plag HaMincha, it's going to be an hour and a quarter until Shkia.
You know. Use the same Svara to explain the Tat, the Sasri, the Halacha. That one day you can have a Mincha, they have that marriage on the same Svara.
Same Svara, right. Okay, Rabosai, well, I'm exhausted. I'm told. This is. We didn't even get to the riff yet. Yeah, I know. Do you know anything about the Leviathan?
10 o'clock tomorrow.
How do they get away with that? And Yerushalayim is a peloton. I tried to pull it off when my father was nifta.
We managed.
They didn't.
My mother became also a bit late today. My brother
yeah? From man, I went through the prushim. Boy, they gave it to me over the head.
No, my
father was buried. I don't remember what time it was. It was like
my
1 in the morning.
Was on the plane. They wouldn't wait for
it
because they
got it. Oh, so you had the same experience that I did. Apparently, they're different. Maybe they loosened the grip on this.
My mother was buried within an hour of her procedure.
Yeah, my mother was buried 2 hours later. 2 hours. Yeah.
But what would be the time?
They're going to be buried permanently.
Ah, so I'll pick it up here, I guess. Tomorrow at 10, you say. Ooh, wait a minute.
Sorry, you can.
Yeah, I have a doctor's appointment. Yeah, I could probably finish by 10. Where will I be? There. That's our maneuvers. Tomorrow. Going to Har Menuchot. Going to Har Menuchot. So the question is, how do I... I guess what I have to figure out when to wait in Har Menuchot.
It'll be a while.
I don't have a spade in the yeshiva. I wonder who will be masked. You know? I guess Reb Moshe maybe, yes. How old was Reb Aaron? He was 85?
85.
Not even that old.
83, maybe 85.
As a kid, they used to call him the babe. You remember that? Yeah. I mean, that's before my time, but when I came to the Kol already, Reb Aaron had made Aliyah. I learned by Reb Aaron here in Gruz for a year.
He was in the Rav Shir when I was there.
He was in the Rav Shir. Yeah, when I came to the Rav Shir, Rav Shechter already was the Rosh Kol, and he replaced Reb Aaron when Reb Aaron went in Aliyah. You know, they say that when Reb Aaron came in to tell his father that he's making Aliyah, his father wasn't so happy about it. I had the same experience when I went told the Rav that I was going on Aliyah.
The Rav was very unhappy.
So I always say Sheish Tefikot L'chud and Halacha L'Maisa L'chud. The armchair for Zionist. You know?
What would Tosha say about not Rabbeinu Tam, but Tosha's?
Yeah.
What would Tosha say about the period of time between Alosa Shachar and Mishiyakir?
The period of time, yeah.
Could you say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis in that period of time? Because since it was not kosher L'Tfilah Shacharis, and since
Kriya Shema Shel Arvis,
right, and could still considered Laila.
So between Amudah Shachar and Mishiyakir.
Right.
I'm sorry, between Anetzachama and Mishiyakir.
No, not Anetzachama.
Well, up to Anetzachama.
No, Mishiyakir is before Netzachama. Mishiyakir is between Alusa Shachar and Netzachama.
Just 1 second. Let me just read this inside. I Are we on the same page? That's the question. What does Tosis say? Tosis says the following. Oh, right. Oh, so you're asking again about the period of time between
Alos and Mashiach.
Right. Could you recite Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis because right. It's not yet ready?
It's not a Zman Pasher.
So that will, I think, we'll have to see that on Daf Tes.
I don't think he says.
No, I'm saying we'll have to see that when we get, you know. We have to get a grasp on this whole Mishayak. Yechiel was also raising the Mishayak.
Is a modifying factor.
Yeah, but I don't know how Mishayak works.
No matter what it does, that's only a din in chakras. No, what I'm saying is that the absence of
I understand what you're saying. Is it that they have to meet at one point?
It sounds like Tosfos is saying there is no such thing as a period of time when it isn't either.
I hear you. I'm just not ready for it yet. You got to give me time. Belina, that when I get to Mishayak here,
but it still seems to me
I can't answer all your questions. I'm sorry.
It still seems to me that I apologize. I was asking you the Chafila, is that
I know my limitation. Intuitively, the answer would be yes, that he could read the Kriyat Shema Shel. But on the other hand, if we're saying that there's a halach of Yom because of R. So that's
see, the
question is how
is
you do it. But on the other hand, Tosfos, what we said before,
we should have said that is his answer. When Tosfos says you could have given a bigger chiddush and to say they were both in the same period in time instead of one before Alos and one after Alos, he could have given this one of saying they're both after Alos, but one
before Mishayak
and the other was after. But he doesn't say that.
All right.
All right.
Go against Saint Krishna before Alos, before Nates for the Vasikin guys. You know, is that? I mean, you're not Yotzi at all before it, or is that just the Chafila?
Well, you can't say you're not.
Let's read the language.
The Mishnah,
can you read it to me? Can you read it to me inside Yechiel? Let's take a look in the. It's always good to read the words.
You're talking about in